Now it's time for a health update on InverclydeRadio.Scot.
Right now, here on InverClyde Radio as part of Health Matters, we're joined here in the studio by Gordon Anderson. Gordon is going to tell us all about the various health services that he provides locally here in InverClyde. Gordon, hello there, how are you today?
Hello David, I'm very well, thanks very much for having me on.
No problem at all. So just tell us about yourself and the services that you provide.
Okay, thank you David. I call myself a holistic health practitioner, and the number one question people tend to ask with regard to that is, what does holistic mean?
I was going to ask that. What does that mean? What is that?
It really just means the whole you. And the way I usually depict that is I have someone visualize a triangle. So if we look at ourselves as a triangle, the ideal is we'd have three equal sides and three equal angles. So everything's in balance, harmony. And one side of that triangle is our physiology. So it's how active are we, how we move our body, our posture, how we breathe. One side is our biochemistry. So that includes what we eat, what we consume, how we nourish ourselves, what we're maybe deficient in and tolerant to, how our body's affected by biochemical influences. And then the foundation of the triangle is our emotional psychological aspect. What do we believe? What's our attitude towards our health? How do we think? Do we think positively? And the body is connected and interconnected. So the mind is the body and the body is the mind. So if any aspect of that triangle is off, if you like, is out of balance, it affects the others, and that can manifest as things like depression or worry or overwhelm or panic attacks, physical pain, sleeplessness, chronic stress. So as a holistic health practitioner, when someone comes to me, first of all, I presuppose that they're not broken. The body does not make mistakes. The body is just giving feedback to things that are going on internally and possibly external influence as well. So when somebody comes to me or I speak to a class or a group or an audience in a workshop, I want to explore what is causing that imbalance. So I'll look at the biochemistry, you know, maybe do a nutritional diary. What do you typically eat on a weekday? How does that change in the weekend? Are you active? Are you inactive? For example, the two main sources of physical pain are inactivity and imbalances, physical imbalances in the body. It can also be affected by the mind, how we operate. You know, do we have a positive outlook? Are we chronically stressed? So, you know, I'm looking at all of the root causes, and the best analogy to differentiate what I do with conventional approaches, if you like, is if we imagine we're on a boat and there's water coming in, I'm interested in where is the source of that leak. Let's go and repair the leak, then restore the integrity of the boat by decanting out the rest of the water. Conventional approaches tend to be, let's deal with the symptoms called the water coming in, and we bail out the water forever, evermore, and that might be trips to the doctor or medication or the physiotherapist. And while all of these modalities have a great place, their training isn't holistic, it's very specialised, and when we look outside that, then they have to refer and that sort of stuff. So I'm a sort of one-stop shop, if you like.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, do you think that a lot of us tend to forget that triangle, and we don't treat our bodies right?
Well, I found when I used to run classes, I used to run weekly classes. I've taken a little break for a while. I talked about information, motivation, and inspiration. And there's lots of information out there and misinformation, unfortunately. There's a lot of fundamentally flawed advice, which people just seem to accept. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, I'm going to give you lots of great information, but it's not going to do you any good. Because this old idea that knowledge is power, I say knowledge is potential power, applied knowledge is power. So why wouldn't you take this great information and just apply it and run with it? So the information has potential value, but why don't we use it? And then people might say, well, I need some motivation. And I say, well, motivation is a type of pressure. Mm-hmm. We arrive at a point, we say, I think I should do something about this, or I need to do something about this, or even worse, a well-intentioned loved one says, you need to do something about that. So we tend to resist that a little bit, even if we know it's something that would be good for us. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I give people information, and I give them ways to find internal motivation by being inspired. I come from inspiration because, like your job here, you would do it for free, wouldn't you?
Absolutely,
I mean, we live to do it. We can't wait to do it. We think about it. So when we jump out of bed in the morning and we put ourselves first, mm-hmm. and we say, I'm going to nourish myself, I'm going to look after myself, as well as I look after my children and my grandchildren and my significant other and my pets. But what we tend to do is we're working on flawed information. We're trying to do our best to make these positive changes, and we shoot ourselves in the foot, so to speak, because we've got limiting beliefs. So this is just another thing that isn't going to work for me, or it'll work for a few months. I mean, the number of people that join the gym in January and they're gone by March. They're frustrated, and you know, and they say, this just isn't going to work, and they throw in the towel, and then they go back to their old habits. And the base of that triangle that I referred to earlier on, our emotional psychological health, that is the real reason we do what we do, because we all have this inbuilt intention to feel better, to improve our state. And sadly, unfortunately, some of us will go to the fridge to do that repeatedly, and we'll eat and overeat. We'll consume something a little bit stronger. Let's have a drink or some alcohol. Let's book a holiday we can't afford. Let's go for some retail therapy. And the thing is, everywhere we go, we take us with us. It's our head that hits the pillow every night, and it's us that wakes up in the morning. And it's not a great choice, but I've asked people this question many times, and it's not a great choice. But the question is, if you had to choose between a physical pain and an emotional pain, which would you choose if you had to choose? Mm. And most people, in my experience, choose a physical pain. What do you do with those memories, with those things that, you know, limit us internally, the thoughts, the belief systems, those memories that, you know, keep coming back? Well, what I do as a holistic practitioner now is I specialize in a modality. I'm a qualified faster EFT practitioner. And that's where, with this modality, I will access your very powerful unconscious mind. That's where all the emotional drivers reside. It doesn't have any judgments. It just takes information like a filing cabinet or a database, and it just stores it in there. And some triggers that, you know, come into play, it can be an external trigger or an internal thought, the unconscious mind just goes to work, and it can manifest as a physical pain or worry or overwhelm or panic attacks. And people say, I don't know where this has come from. So I go in there and I change these internal resources and programs, mm-hmm. so that the person can no longer play it. We release and let those go. And then we substitute those with empowering programs. I mean, for example, you're sitting there right now. Think about something you love to do that, yep. makes your heart sing. Mm-hmm. The people in your life that love you, people that you love, one of your favourite memories, where do you love to go on holiday? And you're accessing all of that in your mind. Mm-hmm. Now, it feels real to you because you're feeling it in your body.
Yeah.
But conversely, I could, you know, have you go to a gloom and doom memory, and you'll feel that as well. And that's what stress is. Stress is our body's reaction to perception. And it feeds into the unconscious mind, and we've got all these emotional drivers that lead us to the fridge, that have us become a couch potato, that take us into this downward spiral. So I'm about giving people informed choices, empowering them with these choices, assisting them release and let go these limiting these programs, if you like, in their unconscious mind. Some of them they're not even aware of.
Is that right?
They don't even know that they're there. This is how intelligent the mind is. If you have something in your past, for example, that you'd really rather never remember, and it's really traumatic, the unconscious mind will store that in such a deep, dark place that you won't even be able to bring it out. So what can happen, though, is let's say you have a trigger. There's something that reactivates that dark memory, and it could be the expression on someone's face. Mm. It could be a change in light. It could be a colour of a sweater. It could be an aroma. So we operate with visual senses, auditory, kinesthetic, you know, sense of smell and taste. These are very powerful emotional drivers. And you could be sitting in your favourite beach with your, you know, loved ones, and something just triggers inside you and you just feel off. And you've got no idea where it came from. So I go in and we clean all that up. And the amazing thing is, I don't even have to know what it is.
Is that right?
I don't have to know what it is. And the unconscious mind actually does it on your behalf. So that's the power of the mind. And the thing is, the body is always listening. So things that show up in the body, whether it's a skin condition, whether it's, where did these migraine headaches come from? You know, things that start to appear, it's the body giving us feedback. I'll give you a brief example, if I may. And all of these testimonials are on my website. I have a couple of recent clients. One 30-year-old man, a very busy businessman, very active. I met him in the gym, actually. 30 years old, and he's suffered from asthma for 25 years, most of his life, nearly died at age 5. And his well-intentioned mum was referred to this doctor in India, and they travelled to India together at age 5, and this man performs a procedure. And he actually was accurate in the sense he knew that the lung meridian passes through the wrist. So we've got all these meridian systems that the Chinese have known about for 5,000 years connected to our vital organs. So he was right on it there. But the approach that he took traumatised this young boy. He used a stone and he broke blood in his wrist there. And as this man, now 30 years old, recounting this event, I said to him, how do you feel as you're, you know, recalling this event? He said, I'm feeling it. It's as if I'm there. And I said, I'm getting that, as if you're there, because I can see the expression in your face. So he's been living with asthma. It didn't make any difference. When the man drew blood, he put a flower, or a lotus flower or something on there, and he remembers the sting. So I spent an hour with him in June of this year, 1 hour, and we used faster EFT. And he's had no inhaler since, and his asthma is completely gone.
Amazing, that.
And it wasn't me that did it. He did it. His mind and body did it cooperatively. But I just have this method, this skill, this modality. And so whether it's asthma, a physical symptom, a mental, emotional pain, so to speak, we can go in there, clean it up, release and let it go, and then put something else in its place. Just like your favourite place, your favourite way of operating, your peak states, and then your body responds to that.
So, I mean, I just want to bring you back to that, the asthma. I mean, I know from experience, I've got asthma, right? And did the body make that person think that he had asthma? Was that how it worked?
There are, first of all, there's a belief system. You've just said,
you can live with asthma for all your life, pretty much. There's no cure to it, is there? Pretty much. I don't think there's any cure to asthma.
Well, you may have said the body doesn't make mistakes, and it responds to its environment. Now you think, well, asthma is a physical thing. You know, if I was to say to you, you know, do you have any? Is there any shortage of air on this planet? Well, most people would say no. There's an abundance of air, but not if you have asthma. So the belief system is there's a shortage of air, and I am dependent upon an inhaler to deal with that symptom. So there's something internal that is successfully producing asthma, in the same way it can successfully produce a skin condition or migraine headaches. So what is the root cause? So what we do is we go in and we figure out how you successfully produce asthma. So I'll say to you, for example, you have asthma, David. Okay, how do you know? And you say, well, you know, and I've got these inhalers, the doctor told me, you know, I can't breathe. And I go, okay, so if you were to teach me how to do that, how would you do it? And you say, well, you know, and you would give me, if you like, a recipe. But I'm really interested in how you feel and when it started and your worst event. And that's where we go. And when we go there, we then access. And by the way, it's the most natural process in the world. I've learned that we are in a trance-hypnotic state. It's a very natural state that we're in most of the time. So if you access a memory or you project some idea of the future, we're actually in a trance. Neither of those are real, but they can feel real to the body. So if you tell me when you first experienced asthma or your very worst you know, memory of asthma, or multiple memories. Where were you? What did you see? Who was there? What were you hearing at the time? And I have you go there and you feel it really strong. Then we go in and we release and let it go.
Right, so it's completely different, absolutely.
Completely different. Yeah. And then we empower you, we flip it, as the term is known, or we re-imprint it, so that I would say to you then, well, tell me again, David, you mentioned earlier you have asthma. How true is that? 100% true? 50% true? 10% true? And you might say, something's changed. And I say, well, what's left? And you say, well, I 50-50. And I'll go in again, that 50%, that stubborn 50% that's left. And the unconscious mind is going, okay. And we're releasing and letting go this definition, this belief system. I have, fill in the blank, diabetes. Doesn't matter what it is, any chronic condition. And we go in and the unconscious mind just goes, okay, I no longer, I've released and let that stuff go, and now I'm going to hand it over to my intelligent mind and body to do the rest. So it's not even a belief system. You don't even have to believe that it will work for it to work, and you can apply it to anything. And the thing that I love most about it is it's a life skill. What the guy with the asthma, people that have come with physical pain, emotional trauma, panic attacks, when they leave the appointment, they not only feel better as they leave, but they feel empowered. I have given them a set of skills. It's called tapping, where they then tap on the Chinese meridian system connected to all of their vital organs. And I say to them, anytime, get in touch with your emotions, how you're feeling at any given point in time. Anytime you ever feel worried or concerned, or you think your asthma's coming back, what I'd like you to do is follow this little procedure, tapping on these meridian points.
For people who don't know, this is radio, of course, where are meridian points?
Meridian points were mapped out. They actually don't know how the Chinese did this 5,000 plus years ago. They've now verified it. They've used radioactive isotopes and they've actually mapped out the meridian system. So there are two meridian reservoirs in the body, and there are 12 meridian systems, and they're all connected and interconnected. And when you know where to go, and by the way, I will put a video on. I've got a YouTube channel. I'll do a video. It's coming up, and I'll show people all these tapping points. But as we're sitting here, I'm showing you, this is the bladder here. This is my forehead, the side of my eyes, my gallbladder, underneath my eyes, my stomach. This is my kidney meridian. And here in my wrist is a shortcut to my heart, lungs, my large, my small intestine, and my circulation. So when you tap on these points, what these actually are, when you tap, and by the way, you can do it in your mind. I'm doing it now in my mind.
Wow.
The mind and the body are connected and interconnected. So I can sit in my car or in a busy waiting room and I can tap. And what tapping actually does is it breaks the trance that you're in. So if I'm sitting and I go, oh, I feel a little bit short of breath, I'm running my old program that I've run for 25 or 30 years called I have asthma, or I have diabetes, or I, you know, I panic in these situations. Let it go. I'm okay to let it go. I'm safe. We take a breath in and out and we use a power word, where the power word is peace. So this is how, if you know what to do, where to go, and it's been around for thousands of years. I often talk about that medical treatment being an alternative. Doctors and NHS staff do a fantastic job, but they're trained in a particular modality. There are all of these other modalities out there. There's naturopathic medicine, homeopathy, acupressure, acupuncture. There are all these different modalities that are considered alternatives. And I'm one of those, most people haven't heard of, what does holistic mean anyway? And what's that faster EFT thing? The bottom line is, I say to people, what's your problem? And it, by the way, it's a perceived problem. You're not broken. And it's not even real. So when people come to me, I have the presupposition that you don't have the problem. And it's already, your body has that inbuilt resource and ability to deal with it. It's a completely different approach from let's suppress the symptoms, called antidepressants. Think in the names of these drugs, antihistamines, anticoagulants, beta blockers, you know, calcium blockers. They just suppress the symptoms. We're bailing out the water on the boat again. Mm-hmm. I'm coming from a completely different... We're saying, well, how do we boost the immune system? Mm-hmm. How do we get all of your systems to function optimally in your body? Your cardiovascular system, your endocrine system. The body is constantly working in the background on our behalf to bring us back into that equilateral balance again, the equilateral triangle. And sometimes we'll go, oh, it's just an age thing, or we've got a family history of glaucoma. Again, the mind and the body are connected. Just
thinking, yeah.
Yeah, and just a final point on that. Most people have heard of that. Have you heard of the placebo effect?
No, what was that?
The placebo effect is our ability. We could take a sugar pill. If I trust in you and you're a trusted medical practitioner, for example, and you give me a sugar pill and I take it, there's no medication in it at all, and you say that's going to take care of whatever that symptom is, and you believe it and the symptoms subside, there's no medication in that. The power of your mind and your belief system has taken care of it. 30 to 50% of symptoms go away with the placebo effect.
Sorry.
The fact that that's ever worked one time tells you about the power of the mind. Now, the way the pharmaceutical industry or the medical community look at that, maybe that's kind of interesting, that's an anomaly, you know, because you're venturing into an area that they're trained in physical approaches. You're more non-physical than you are physical. We're all 99.9% empty space. That's the metaphysical. And within that empty space is energy. Mm-hmm. The Chinese call it chi. The Japanese call it ki. The Hawaiians call it mana. The Indians prana. Einstein called it energy. And within that energy, there's an intelligence and there's a wisdom. And that's where these modalities like acupuncture, faster EFT, we're utilising the natural resources of the body and the mind to bring us back into balance and heal things. The other side of it is there's something called the nocebo effect. The nocebo effect is the opposite of the placebo effect. So if I believe, for example, we have a family history of osteoporosis and glaucoma and heart disease, guess what? My body's listening to that. So as part of the process, I give people affirmations, positive affirmations. For example, if it was to do with weight loss, I ran weight loss classes for 5 years. I'd give a laminated affirmation in week one, and it says, I easily and healthily maintain my ideal weight on an ongoing basis. Now, week one of a weight loss class, and most people have tried everything up until this point, and they're sitting there and they're already running their own personal, unique internal program, which may be, I'll give this 3 weeks, this is another thing that's not going to work for me. That's the mindset. So when someone comes along and says, I easily and healthily maintain my ideal weight on an ongoing basis, I'm sitting here and I'm 3 stone overweight. That's not true. And then I'll say, well, neither is all that other stuff true, that nocebo stuff. And the body just agrees all the time. So in some cases, it doesn't matter what dietary changes you might make or how much more water you drink or how... It's in the mind. Mm. So that we have these emotional drivers, you know, and unhealthy relationships to food. I love food. I'll say, well, food isn't going to love you back.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
But it's a coping skill. It's just one way to cope with my grief, my depression, my overwhelm, whatever it is that we're dealing with in life. And, you know, and we're doing our best to cope. So we're constantly doing it. And so I come along and I present this affirmation. People go, that isn't true. And I say, well, would you like to release the resistance to that being true and open yourself up to receive it? So we use another little method. These are acupressure points, which allow you to go, you know what, I'm open to that possibility. And then the body starts to respond. I easily and healthily maintain my ideal weight on an ongoing basis. If I say, how true is it that you have asthma? And you say, I don't believe it's true. And by the way, I got permission to talk about this today, and of course the affirmation's already on my website. My friend, my client with the asthma, when he went back to his family and said, you know, that's it. They're like, hang on a minute, You've had this a long time. Keep the safety net there called the inhalers. So sometimes external influences can be strong enough and influential enough, we revert back or we lose our belief. Or, you know, you can try really, really, really hard to bring something back if you really focus on it enough. But once you clean those things out and you allow the body to take over, it's as if it's magical. It even amazes me, the outcomes that some people enjoy at the end of the process.
But once you get to that stage, once you've cleared all those things out of your mind, they don't come back, do they? They never come back.
It's like, just to use an analogy, we're in your studio here. If you were to put a music CD in, you know, it's going to play track. You can select tracks. These are programs, if you like. So we have the equivalent of that within our unconscious mind. If you take one of those CDs out and you scratch it so that it can't play in the same way again, then, to use the analogy, neither can the program in your mind. So what we want to do is just let go of the negative ones and then replace some positive ones instead, and then the body responds to that.
And just back to those acupuncturists, tapping them, you said you can do that in your mind as well.
You can do it in your mind.
So, I mean, how many times would you say people would need to do those acupuncturists, you know, the tapping? How many times a day would...
I encourage people, as it comes up, when you notice it, just tap. And you don't have to count, you know, one, two, three, four, just go, let it go, it's safe to let it go, I release and let it go, take a breath in and out, say the word peace.
How long would it take a person to learn that?
As long as I've just done it there. It's really easy. And I've talked to so many people and I've done seminars, workshops, classes over the years. I believe that children, in, as early as they can learn, should learn these tools and techniques. School, as we know, is a very stressful time and we don't have too many resources and skills as a young child or in secondary school. And in fact, I had a lady that came to my class as a school teacher in Glasgow, and she took one of the methods, simple methods that I taught, called emotional stress release, and taught it to her class. Had them close their eyes and consciously breathe. If I could give you and your listeners a really powerful tip right now on how to reduce stress, because stress is the number one killer.
That's right.
It is worldwide. It's the estimated 75 to 90% of doctor visits are stress related. So what do we do with this thing called stress? Well, first of all, know that you successfully produce it. It's not the weather, it's not the barking dog next door, it's not our horrible boss at work. We point the finger out there, but it's actually us that are successfully producing it. And like I said earlier, what do you do with those feelings and emotions other than reach for a cigarette or go to the fridge or whatever these old, you know, disempowering, you know, modalities are that we have? Well, you can breathe. The Chinese say partial breathing is partial living. And what do we tend to do when we're stressed or we're anxious or we're nervous? We breathe, we stop breathing, or we breathe really shallow, and you're sending alarm bells to your body. Mm-hmm. And you induce this fight or flight response, the stress response. It could be an imminent danger. You know, there could be a lion or a bear 10 feet from you, and then you want that rush of blood and energy so that you can escape the danger. But many of us do this in our mind day after day, driving in our car, sitting on the weekend, and we've got one foot in yesterday or one foot in tomorrow, and we're not even here, and we're creating this internal torture, and we call it stress, but we're actually doing it to ourselves. And so all the alarm bells are going off, and you get the adrenaline flooding into the body, and cortisol, another hormone, again, just responding to your thoughts. Mm-hmm. This is the power of the mind. And then you get these things that start to show up. You'll age very quickly if you're under stress, and you'll see this with public figures like, you know, politicians, you know, they go grey. And then when they're out of office and they're on the book tour and they're, you know, they're doing the seminar, it's as if they get this youthful vitality back. Mm-hmm. That is what stress can do to us. So just to share a very easy one with you and your audience is, as we're speaking just now, we've got our eyes open. And again, for your listeners, don't do this while operating heavy machinery or driving a car. If you can, you would just sit and close your eyes. And in that one change, you're changing the brainwave pattern and you're sending a very calming, relaxing signal to your body.
How long would you close your
eyes? You could give yourself 2 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, however long you have. It could just be, I'm just going to give myself this 1 minute, 15 minutes, however long you have. But I say to people is rather than, you know, try and prioritize these things rather than try and, you know, fit it in at the end of the day or whatever. So we close our eyes and then we take our attention to our breath and we would breathe in as deeply as we can. You know, and we should really feel our abdomen push out slightly if you were to have your hand on your abdomen there. Breathe in. And as you breathe in with your eyes closed deeply, just say silently to yourself the word accepting. And as you breathe out, exhale all the way out, say releasing. And as you breathe in and out, you're accepting and you're releasing. And open your eyes and 2 minutes later. It's actually a very simple meditation as well, but you are sending, and of course we're oxygenating the body. As long as we're alive, we're breathing. So if we do it consciously and we accept ourselves, our situation, our circumstances, and we release anything else, these are both nouns and verbs. And again, because everything's connected, the body's going, oh yeah, thank you, this feels great. And how do you know? Check in with how you feel. We have this amazing gift as human beings called our emotional guidance system. You may not have heard of that. So what we tend to do is go, oh, I wish I could stop these thoughts or not think about that. Well, it's now well established. We have about 60,000 thoughts a day. 90% of them are the same ones and 70% are negative and redundant. So we wake up most mornings and it's just like Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. And we're in the car, you're already arriving, you've locked the car. If I was to say, tell me all about your journey, you go, I don't know, I was on the phone and I was fixing my hair. And, you know, that's your subconscious that's done that. You don't have to relearn how to drive a car every time. How do you get angry? Well, people say, why do I get angry all the time? I say, because you know how. You have an internal program to produce anger. Mm-hmm. So we have all of these, so the 60,000 thoughts, 90% the same one, 70% negative and redundant. So this Groundhog Day, and how do you monitor 60,000 thoughts?
That's a lot. Absolutely, you can't.
So instead, check in with yourself. Just as you sit there, David, just as you sit there right now, do you feel at ease? Do you feel relaxed? Do you feel comfortable? Is there some tension now? Are you thinking about the clock maybe, or what you have to go to Tesco after this? I wish this guy would hurry up and stop talking, or whatever it is. So if you go, you know, well, I feel relaxed, I'm interested, I'm learning some things, I've been entertained, I'm curious, you know, feels pretty good. This guy's a bit different. On the other hand, you might be sitting over there saying, I don't like this guy, it reminds me of that guy that bullied me in school, or whatever. So you're internalizing and representing this event called this conversation with me in your unique way. So when you get in touch with how you're feeling, and you don't need to name it, emotions don't have words. We give them words. I feel stress, I feel anxiety. And that's why as a faster EFT practitioner, I say, how do you know? And sooner or later, you're going to tell me how you do it and where you feel it. Now, you might feel a tightness in the chest, whereas I feel butterflies in my stomach, or a tightness in my neck and shoulders. And that's what we release and let go. And then we replace it with something else, something empowering. So the mind goes, let's collapse that negative feeling. And we can still remember those events, mm-hmm. but the negative emotional cords have been cut. And if you were to recall it again, you would just be like matter of fact about it. Go, yeah, I remember that, you know, horrendous event when I was 5 or 11 years old or whatever. And I'll say, any emotions with that? You go, no, any sensations at all? And what we do is we measure it at the beginning. So I'll say, for example, how strong 10 is, you know, or 10 out of 10 or 50 out of 10 or zero, you can't feel it. So we measure it at the beginning and then we test it and we check it. So it's very logical, measurable, and you feel it. And the process as we go along, you're actually doing it inside your head. So rather than monitor these thoughts and, you know, just go about our day every day, what I invite people to do is get in touch with how you feel. Yeah. And just check in. If you say, you know what, I feel a bit, I don't know why, I feel a little bit off or down or lonely or depressed, whatever, overwhelmed, whatever word we attach to that, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Safe to let it go. I'm okay. I'm here now. Mm-hmm. Breathe in, breathe out, peace. And the body goes, thank you.
Absolutely.
So we can do things very simply and empowering, using our natural inbuilt resources to take the immune system up, have it really high. I mean, when people say to me, oh, somebody at the office and they're, you know, they've got the hankies out and they're sneezing and coughing and I'm concerned that I'm going to get it. And I say to people, I've got a really powerful immune system. I don't concern myself with things like that. So what happens is if our immune system is depleted, we become open to what are known as opportunistic diseases, the cold and the flu. So if you've got a mighty immune system, which for me is fueled by your emotional, psychological health, wellness, well-being, your positive affirmations, your belief that your body is well, that it has the ability to heal itself and bring itself back into balance. If that's your belief system, you don't believe, and this is true for me. I mean, I'm 55 years old and I feel fantastic. I expect to feel good. I know it's my natural state. If I ever feel a little bit of, say, bloating, I'll go, okay, was it the bread sandwich that I had? Was it the gluten? Where did that come from? And I'll do my best to locate it and eliminate it or minimise and avoid it. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly getting this feedback, but what do we tend to do? We might say, oh yeah, every time I eat that, I feel like that. Bloating, heartburn, headaches. And I say to people, that's not normal. We talk about it as if it's normal. You know, this idea that, oh, it's an age thing. And I'll say, you know, we're genetically designed to live 120 years. And I've had people say, you know, when I talk about 90 years, they say, no, I don't want to live that long. Well, what are they seeing? What's their picture of being 90? Do you see what I mean? Why wouldn't you want to live until you live age 90?
And if the mind's in a right mindset, you can live an ordinary life. You can live a very active life at that age into the hundreds and keep going. You can do that.
As
long as your mind is active and in the right place, I guess.
Absolutely. And success leaves clues. If you look at the healthiest nations in the world and how they live their lives, the traditional Chinese, for example, you know, how they breathe, they do Tai Chi, their attitude towards family and the elderly, how they eat. They eat in a very balanced way. They eat with community, you know, mobile phones and TVs. So they really get in touch with nature a lot of times and their internal, you know, feelings. And so they're still out working in fields and things at 90 and 100 years old. I did a video on my YouTube channel. It's called 90 Years. And it's really interesting. Here we are in the west of Scotland. And I read a report a few years ago. We are the unhealthiest developed country in the world, in Scotland. Childhood obesity a few years ago in percentage terms in Scotland overtook the United States.
Wow.
And you know, what are we doing? We're investing more money in research and in drugs, you know, the fight against cancer, the fight against all of these diseases. And, you know, the more money we throw at it, the problem, if you notice, the problems, I often talk about this, diabetes, obesity, hypertension, heart disease, cancer, the numbers are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's obviously not working. And I'll often ask people that question, how's that working for you? That approach to losing weight or that approach to sleeping better. And they'll keep doing it over and over and over again, expecting a different result. And I'll come along with an idea that they've never heard before. And they'll say, how come I've never heard anything like that before? Because it's not mainstream advice. The London Olympics, the major sponsors in 2012 was Coca-Cola, McDonald's and Cadbury's. How many of those medal-winning athletes were consuming any of that? But what's the message? And who's the message to? Mm-hmm. More recently, the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. Iron Brew.
Yep.
Tunnock's Tea Cakes. Those athletes aren't putting that stuff in their body. And if they are, don't expect to stand on that podium.
No, they definitely wouldn't get a gold.
So there's this
for sure.
There's this, exactly. So there's this mainstream propaganda, you know, and I do my best through my website, YouTube channel and social media to give people this idea that the way nature operates, I believe, is part of the grand design, if you like. Again, nature provides a lot of clues. What does an injured animal do? You know, find some shade, some quiet time. It'll literally lick its wounds. Of course, it's not really emotionally involved. It's just, you know, it's just doing what comes instinctively. But what do we do? And when you take those 90 years that I referred to, know that if you do sleep 8 hours a night, that's, you know, that's a third of your life spent asleep. Then when you take your working life, you know, so that's 30 years of your 90, 15 years working, they estimate 4 years going to the bathroom and the toilet, 2 years stationary like we are right now, sitting at traffic lights, standing in the queue, they put 2 years doing that.
Imagine that, yeah.
Yeah, and we don't want to add up how long we watch TV. The great thing about radio, Inverclyde Radio,
and any things as well.
You can passively you listen to it and interviews like this and go about, you know, whatever you're doing, you know, and your work or at home or whatever. So we create our own experience. And, you know, when you condense those 90 years down to your waking time, mm-hmm. when you can enjoy life and accept life and appreciate life and live life to the full and feel this feeling of wellness and well-being, we don't have long. So part of what I teach is this whole idea about proactive health rather than reactive health. Seize every day like it's your last. I'll give people some philosophy. I'll give some people some things to think about. For example, what guarantee, David, do you have that you'll be here this time tomorrow? You have the same guarantee I have. None. So if you had 24 hours left, what would you choose to do and not do? Who would you call? Who wouldn't you call? How would you, what sort of experience would you create for yourself? How would you want to feel? And you think, wow, if I've only got 24 hours. So you wake up tomorrow morning with a completely different attitude. So if you seize every day like that and you go about life with a feeling of appreciation and gratitude and, you know, you love, honour and respect not only yourself, who is the most important person in your life, but those around you, it's as if the world starts to change around you. And along with that, your health, wellness and well-being. If you just make a wee final distinction on that,
sure.
An Olympic athlete or someone that's physically fit and well, I call that wellness. But you can have physical wellness, but your well-being could be eroding or in trouble. So for example, let's say I feel I'm an Olympic athlete, I'm in the twilight of my career, don't think I'll make the next Olympics. So even though I'm in that gold medal podium position, I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to be doing? You know, so the well-being, the mental, emotional state is beginning to erode. Conversely, I could be 89 years old, knowing my days are precious and numbered. My body isn't working, it's hardly working, let alone optimally, never mind Olympic athlete. But I could be in a bed, in a hospice, and I can find joy and peace and contentment and love. So although the wellness, the physical wellness isn't there, I have that feeling of well-being. And I'm accepting where I am, and I'm releasing, and I'm embracing the idea that, because we're all checking out, so there's no out clause to that one.
Absolutely.
So it's like, you know what, I've had a great life. So it's how we look at it. But while we're young and we have the choices, I say, why not have both? You don't have to be an Olympic athlete to live optimally. Energy, vitality, feeling that you've got energy in reserve. That's natural. That's what I teach. That's what I promote. That's what I live. You know, my health age ranges between 19 and 23. My chronological age is 55. Now, when I was that age, I was a West of Scotland guy, you know. I was like out every night, alcohol, and I'll never know, but I was probably nearer 50 in terms of health age when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
So the point that I want to make about that is the body will adapt and change at any age to whatever you serve up. But sometimes we just need some tools, some resources, a little bit of support, some new ideas, and that's what I've figured out. So in the last 10 years, I've been drawing upon all of these resources and skills and techniques to offer people so that they can achieve wellness and well-being. But in addition to that, for about 25 years, I've been working on myself. You know, personal empowerment and development is an ongoing process. I was an expert at doing stress. My father used to call me Mr. Angry. That was my name. So I knew how to successfully produce frustration and all of these things. And that further qualifies me to know. But if you say to me, I'm really angry, I know how I successfully have produced anger in the past and how to release and let it go. I know that it doesn't work for me, but intellectually and logically, that's one thing. But what tool do you have to healthily release and let it go? But I would say to you, okay, how do you do your anger? Like, you're going to teach me your recipe, so I don't assume that your anger is the same as my anger. Do you see what I mean? So whatever you say, I say there is no problem. Your body doesn't make mistakes, and I'm already making the presupposition that your mighty mind and body will respond. You just need some resources and tools, and that's where I come in.
Okay, and how can people access those services? How do you go about doing it?
They would just visit my website, gordontheguru.co.uk. If you just put the, I know it's a bit of a fun name, you know, a guru is just...
How does it come about?
I was just looking for something that would catch the attention. You know, I'm a fitness professional, I'm a trained massage therapist, I'm an expert in nutrition and weight loss and all these things. I'm trained in Touch for Health Kinesiology, uses the Chinese acupuncture. So I've got this whole mishmash of different things. And just for fun, I thought, well, you know, a friend of mine some years ago, said, you know, you're like a guru, you know all this stuff. And a guru is really just a teacher.
Yeah,
that's really all I am. It's not a grand title. I've just got some really good techniques, resources, ideas that work. So when somebody comes to me, I'm looking at, right, how can we improve your life? How can we ease that pain, whether it's physical, emotional, whatever? So the website's there, and what I've begun to do is I've got about 24 videos, I believe, on my YouTube channel, and each has a little title. There's one on the 90 years, there's one on health alternatives, there's a number on stress and fear and how we do all these things. So people could go to the YouTube channel and subscribe there. And as I put new videos on, they'll get a little automatic update. Gordon's put a new video on. They could follow me on Twitter. I've got a Facebook page. I work locally in Greenock, but I also, because we have technology now, I can actually use Skype.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
Across the world, and I can work with people using all of these techniques and modalities, and as they go away, they plug into the resources. The book's coming and the CD series is coming, all of that's coming, and it's really just in an effort to serve and support more people, not just in Inverclyde, but you know, across Scotland and anywhere that I can be of service, really.
Good stuff. Well, Gordon, thank you very much for joining us here in the studio today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, David.
You said you're working on a book as well, yes.
That's all. I've written this book three or four times in my mind. It's had to get it done, yeah. So we'll get that.
How far do you think you're away from maybe getting that published?
I intend to have it done by the end of next year. The end of next year.
Well, good stuff. We'll keep us posted with that.
I will do.
It'll be interesting to
thank you.
That'll be good. And again, Gordon, thank you very much.
Thanks, David. Pleasure.
For more health information, log on to invercliderescot.com/health.